Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Private Parters. Welcome to an episode of Private Parts, because you're sitting, you've obviously clicked on the episode, because, or you haven't, or you've subscribed to us, and actually then what happens annoyingly in the morning is it just pops up saying, oh, there's a brand new episode of Private Parts. Or you've gone onto my Instagram and you see me post another story or post about this episode, so you've gone, there's Jamie again, posting about podcasting. Sometimes I think, do you get bored that I post about it so much? But then I don't think that, because the content at the moment is just fabulous. Jesus is really banging on about my own tune right now. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Friday episode. Hope you're having a swell day. I'm your host, Jamie Lang of Private Parts. Trying to pretend that I'm some sort of host. Hilarious. Guys, today we have Tom Lucy also as a co-host on this really fun episode. Tom Lucy is a great friend of the podcast. He has been co-hosting a few because Alex Mitten's away in Costa Rica. I got a message from Alex saying he was at a festival in Costa Rica, so I can't wait for him to come back and for you all to hear what shenanigans he's got up to over there. I mean, if you're a fan of the podcast and have been one for a while, you can only imagine what he's been up to in Costa Rica. But I'm excited to hear it. And today we have a comedian who is one of the funniest out there. Our sound guru, Felipe, sent a message to our Private Parts group saying, out of respect, can you please watch this comedian's Netflix special? So, before he came on the podcast. So I went and watched the Netflix special, and it's amazing. Today on the episode, we have Phil Wang. I've been a fan of Phil's for so long. I've tried to get him on the podcast for a while. He's finally agreed to do it. And I really, really can't wait. Felipe's just sent me it in the chat. 145 hours of Bud Pod as well. That's what he's listened to, which is Phil Wang's podcast. That's so creepy. He just sent me a... I'm doing this across Zoom and Felipe just sent a message. 145 hours, 145 episodes. Thanks, Felipe. All right, everybody. Listen, you don't want to hear me dragging on. This episode is super funny today. Thank you to my co-host, Tom Lucy. Thank you to Phil Wang for what an amazing guest to be on. We had such a fun time. We understood exactly what funny is, how to become a comedian, what it is to be a comedian, and what actually funny is. So really hope you enjoy this one. As always, please send us an email, get in contact with us, anything at all, whether you like the episodes, what you want us to change, what you like, what you dislike, anything at all, contact at privatepartspodcast.com. But for now, enjoy the episode. Bye-bye. Or hello. Just enjoy it. Well, isn't this a fun setup?
This is really nice.
Isn't this great?
It feels It feels almost normal. You know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what people don't realize about this podcast, is you come on and you just, it's like being with your friends. It's like just sitting,
it's like
sitting in a room just with your mates.
That's the danger though. That's the danger with podcasts is that it lulls you into a false sense of casualness and security. Good. And you reveal things that you wouldn't normally reveal in front of. How many listeners do you have? 100? 200?
Yeah. Million. We have 100 million. We have 100 million listeners. But just quickly on that, I saw Joe Rogan posted his listeners per episode. How many listeners do you think Joe Rogan has?
So as in listens of each episode?
Each listeners, individual listeners per episode.
Okay. Per episode, I'm going to say 300,000.
11 million.
No.
Yes. What?
Yes.
What?
11 million.
Yes. NBC has like 1.5 million.
11 million.
11
fans of Elk Mate. Wow.
Tom loves him because he loves doing DMT as well.
Yeah. We just share a lot of opinions.
But that is the danger of podcasts.
No, that's why we've brought you here, is to lull you into a false sense of security.
Yeah, this is lovely and not at all like...
We gave you a yogurt.
It's very different from the Joe Rogan setup. His is like a sort of man cave nuclear bunker, and this is like a maid showroom.
Yeah.
With
this is like doing a podcast in DFS.
Also, the great thing is that the listeners say we built this brand new set, right? Which is, it's cool, right? It says Riff Raff behind you. No Riff Raff, sorry.
Oh, right. Is that something from your childhood?
Yeah. Yeah, we got some beers and other beers over there because we're legends. The only problem is...
Feel free to have a beer if you want a beer.
Have a beer.
Warm beer.
They've been there for about a year.
Oh, you're spoiling
feel free to have one.
Yeah, you can also turn on the light while you do it. But the problem is we...
Take your shoes off if you want.
We thought, aesthetically, we thought it would be nice to have windows behind us.
Yeah.
The problem is that gives back...
backlight.
Loads of backlight. So then we got these lights up here, which cost a little bit of money as well. They're boiling. So get ready, Phil. You're gonna be backlit and really sweaty.
I'm worried because I'm wearing leg warmers under here. Under my trousers, I'm wearing leg warmers. Like a couple of years back, I got really into leg warmers.
Oh, like thermals?
Yeah, thermals.
What do you mean? How does that happen?
I don't know, they're like tights. They're like man tights. They really do what it says on the tin. They keep your legs so warm.
Do they?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched The Danish Girl, the movie with Eddie Redmayne?
No.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's...
I don't like to support Etonians.
Okay. Yeah, nor do I. Nor do I. Hate Etonians. But he, in the movie, The Danish Girl, is about how he wants to dress in women's clothes, right? And, and he's ashamed of the different things. And there's a moment in it where Eddie Redmayne, he touches a dress for the first time, and it's this incredible moment, and you see it in his face. I imagine when you put on your leg warmers, it was the same face you made. You suddenly realized that this was your... Oh my god!
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah, so was I. Listen, it's a casual podcast.
Phil's thermals reminded you of the Danish Girl.
Actually, but they're making a movie about me and thermals as well. They've already cast Henry Golding.
Is it called the Malaysian Man?
Yeah, it's just called Malaysian Man. It's beat for beat identical. It's just leg warmers instead
and
of dresses.
Henry Golding plays you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it'd be more appropriate if Eddie Redmayne played you.
What happened?
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah. Oh no, your favourite Tom Hiddleston can play.
Of course, that would be something for the fans. That would...
You know that Phil doesn't like Tom Hiddleston. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Why don't you like Tom Hiddleston?
Oh no,
was he in The Night Manager?
I think he was. Yeah. He's just sort of mad and has no self awareness and he's just obviously someone who's been told his whole life that he's brilliant and he has no grasp on the real world. But
you're gonna get on very well with Jamie.
I can tell you what, you're gonna like me.
Do you know him?
No, I don't know him. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
No. It just sounded...
Oh, and
it sounded bizarrely similar.
Right.
Reality, what is that? I have no clue.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even be able to have a podcast.
Because he's above it.
Well, no one's above it anymore. Don't the fucking Obamas have a podcast? Like, there's no one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but like having a podcast is like having a toilet at this point. It doesn't matter how rich you are, you have or poor, you probably have a podcast.
It is true. Everyone, but to be fair, Tom Hiddleston's podcast would be. Would you listen to? If you're scrolling through Apple charts for podcasts and you come across Tom Hiddleston's podcast, I'm not sure I if would
you,
listen
this
to
this is Tom Hiddleston's podcast. You start the podcast, he starts talking and he talks for an hour, and then at the end he says thank you to my guest, and you realize there was a guest there the whole time. That would be Tom Hiddleston's podcast.
Who would his first guest be as well? Who would he have?
Be like Robert De Niro. And it'll be an hour of Tom Hiddleston doing a Robert De Niro impression, and he goes, oh, thanks, by the way, to actual Robert De Niro who's here. Who couldn't get a word in.
It's actually so.
Do you ever worry that, I presume you haven't met Tom Hiddleston?
No.
Would you worry about meeting him? Do you think he's found out about what you've said?
He has apparently. So I made a video about him breaking into my home.
Yeah.
That I put on Twitter, and
have you seen that? It's so funny.
Can you explain what happens in the video?
So I broke up an advert that he did for a Chinese vitamin company called Centrum, and it's a very bizarre video in which it's sort of first person view of Tom Hiddleston as your boyfriend coming home and making you breakfast and giving you a bottle of Centrum vitamins. And so and it's really weird. And it's just Tom Hiddleston.
It's quite weird.
It's the creepiest thing ever. It's so weird.
It's very creepy because he's looking straight into the camera, like he's looking at you and you're his girlfriend. And they filmed it in portrait mode so that it looks like you're watching a FaceTime. Yeah. So it looks like he's talking to you. So I just took that and I spliced it up and put myself in the other role. But instead of his girlfriend, I'm just a guy whose house Tom Hiddleston has broken into.
That is genius.
And it did quite well. It got a lot of views and all that. And apparently, I've been told Tom Hiddleston has seen that.
Really?
And he's
who told you? Who came up to you and told?
David Baddiel.
Oh, really?
I turned to David Baddiel and he said, "Yeah, Tom has seen that. Apparently, he thinks it's funny." Tom Hiddleston, but I imagine he said, "Yeah, it's really funny." That was just furious. Yeah, no, you know, I can have a laugh. I can have a laugh. Yeah. I'm a famously fun guy. Yeah, yeah.
What is quite weird about that is, firstly, it's a Chinese advert, and using Tom Hiddleston. That's the first thing.
Yeah, but I think all the Hollywood film stars do adverts in Japan and China and in Asia, don't they?
Because, how do you know this?
I think it
does happen.
Name another three. Name another three.
I think like Leonardo DiCaprio's done adverts in like car adverts and stuff.
I think so. And a couple of years back, Quentin Tarantino did a weird advert in Japan.
Because I think they think that...
They've forgotten the internet exists.
Yeah.
Now. Like back in the day, yeah, you could go to Lithuania and do an advert for tires and no one would find out. You could just cash in your drachmark. I don't know what these are.
And drachmark?
I don't know. And I just try to think of a European...
Lithuanian drachmark.
And no one would find out. But now, like, you can't hide anything.
No.
But if you did meet Hiddleston then, and you actually met him or he came to one of your shows, what would you point him out in the audience?
Oh, that's a good...
Would you be nervous, truthfully?
I think I'd have butterflies. I'm just such a fan, you know? No, I'd get excited. And I think if he was at the front, I would have to say something.
Yeah.
Because even if people haven't seen the video, people have probably seen that Tom Hiddleston sat in the front for some reason.
Yeah.
We got Tom Hiddleston here. And Tom Hiddleston's here. We got Tom Hiddleston.
And like, he's obviously not the kind of celeb who's going to wear a baseball cap to hide himself, is he? He's going to come in dressed as Loki and sit at the front. So it's not like he's going to be incognito. I'm going to have to say something. He's got holding the fucking staff. And so, definitely. I think it'd be fun. I'd love that. I think it'd be funny to meet him. He's probably fine, isn't he? I mean, he's probably.
I think he would be. But you got Tom. Do you ever have hecklers or anyone in the crowd?
I have had a thing. I used to do a joke about looking like Sam Smith.
How did that go?
It was like it was like 4 years ago. I used to do this joke about it, and then I was in a restaurant in Soho, and Sam Smith was in the restaurant, and he came up to me.
No, he didn't.
And said
he didn't.
And said he'd heard the joke.
Wow.
Isn't that Matt? I had no idea how he would. It went on like a Comedy Central show that four people would have seen. But he
and,
he
and what did he say? What did he was he annoyed?
Came up, he came up to me and said, "Oh, it's nice to meet my doppelganger or something." But
he's really tall.
Yeah, he's,
what a great way to find out that Sam Smith Googles himself every day.
Yeah, yeah.
He has a Google alert, obviously.
Yeah, he must. He must do.
Do you not have a? Do you have a Google alert?
No, of course not.
Of course not. Nor do I.
I have enough trauma in my life. Thank
I
you.
I have a Google alert of Phil Wang's name.
But why wouldn't you want? Why wouldn't? As a comedian, I would say I would definitely have a Google alert because I'm constantly. Because you talk about racy things and different stuff, and so I would be constantly concerned, I suppose, that someone has said something about your comedy that they didn't like, or and it's come in the press, and so I'd always be like, "Oh God, when's
it?" Oh no, but yeah, that's exactly why you shouldn't have a Google alert.
But you seem, Phil, you seem to me to be quite chilled about because you're not massively on social media.
Not so much anymore. No. I used to really love Twitter when Twitter was fun.
Yeah.
But you're the same as us. You don't like Twitter anymore either. No. I don't know why you guys were ever on Twitter. It's just a place for hate.
Well, it didn't used to be that way. At the start, it was like, it was people just like experimenting with this fun new thing and sharing jokes and cool, interesting bits and they'd made. But now it's just about opinions and signaling what political teams you're part of and just trying to make yourself look like a fucking hero. And it's just so fucking tedious these days. And jokes don't get retweeted anymore. It's opinions that get retweeted.
It's true. Yeah. I heard Ricky Gervais saying something, which was so true. He said, the problem with Twitter now is that everyone has a voice. Every single person. So you say whatever you want. You have your opinion, your political opinions, whatever it is. And it's very hard to cut through the bullshit. Phil, I got to ask you a question now. What email was more exciting for you? And be honest. The email that you got saying, will you please come on Private Parts? Or your Netflix email?
Oh, I think for sure the Netflix one.
For sure.
Yeah. I thought about it for a bit, but actually it's very obviously...
Does that? I don't imagine that...
the one about my Netflix.
Does that
present.
Come through as an email
It's
offer?
Just an email. It just
it's
comes
just
from,
an email offer.
It's just Netflix at netflix.com. Yeah. And you get an email and it says...
And it looks like spam, but it's not.
Yeah, it's yeah. really nearly deleted.
How does it happen? Do you get... Does your agent phone you up and say, we got something big? And you go, what is it? And they go... Netflix, why don't you do a special? Because that is like the, I would say from the very inexperienced time.
As a fellow comedian. Yeah.
Getting a Netflix special is pretty, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. It's you know, it's such a, you know, it's this huge brand, of course. And it's so many eyes and they do really care about their Netflix specials. And it's from the beginning, it's been, I feel like a part of the Netflix thing, like right from the beginning, people's Netflix specials were like a cornerstone of the whole platform. It was this place where they were producing like high quality, good looking stand up specials, and it's like we've been looking for a platform for those for a while. So to be sort of invited to be part of that was obviously really cool. But and also what's really great is they really take their hands off. They let you make the special you want to make, which is great. But also like, oh gosh, it's all up to me.
Yeah,
and so yeah, but picking the set, I'm picking the outfit, I'm picking the music, the title sequence, all this sort of thing. But
I'm trying to remember.
So it fails, it's literally down to you.
I'm trying to remember what I think I can remember what outfit you went for. Was it just a blue kind of sweatshirt?
Not
blue
just sweatshirt. A blue
kind of baby blue sweat.
It was a baby blue sweat. I was into my sweats at the time.
Did you think a lot about the outfit? Because I would think a lot about the outfit.
Yeah, I think comics, we think too much about the outfits and too much about our walk-on music, really.
And not enough about the material.
No, I didn't have any.
I've certainly had that criticism.
Well, you look great. The music was awesome. Yeah,
let me tell you, the set is amazing.
But the content is shit.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times I'll get like a tweet after a show and someone will say, hey, Phil, what was the name of the playlist before? Like, they won't say a good show or really funny. It's like, oh, it's a cool song on the top. What was it? Yeah. And I'd be like, yes, nailed it.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1.
only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I can imagine that, because I watched it recently, but, and I said to you before, it's so funny. And sometimes I think, I don't know if you guys know this, but from an audience member, watching comedy in the flesh, right? When you're in the theater or whatever it is, in the auditorium, it's better, right? That's what, because you're with the audience and it's funny. And sometimes I find that you watch people on TV or in their shows and you go, oh, it's kind of funny. But then you watch them live and you go, God, they're so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But with your show, it's really funny. It is.
Oh, thanks,
but it actually is. It totally is. And I can imagine the pressure you have, because it's like you can't re-record it, right? I imagine you're just basically going.
The standard is to do two shows, and you.
It's not much. You're not taking 50 takes.
It's still one night. It's still one night. And so the thing about stand-up, and I've learned this more as I've gone on, is like, in a way, the material and the quality of material can only get so far. So much of how a show goes is down to whether you slept well the night before, what you had to eat just beforehand, what general level of health you're at, like, especially for me. And because so much of it is just if you're on form, if your mind is clear, if you're in the moment. So if you're in a position where you're stressed or a bit sad about something, or literally eating too much pizza beforehand, it can.
What did you eat before your Netflix special?
Pizza. I had like a pizza, and I think it might have been too much.
I think you can
tell between some of the cuts. Like in some cuts, I'd be like, and you'll cut angle, yeah. And be like, and you'll go, what's strange? Why has he suddenly got this? He sweated a lot in half a second.
In between the two shows, you had a full roast.
He suddenly looks exhausted.
Most of it comes from the first show. When you watch it, can you tell which bits are from the first show and which bits are from the second show?
Yeah.
Was most of it from one or the other, or was it a mix of the two?
I think most of it was from
great
the second.
Great question, Tom Lucy. Look at that.
Yeah, that's a real...
That's a great question.
That's a real insight
That's
question.
A real insight
such
question.
A loser geek question. Yeah.
This bit will definitely get cut out.
Yeah. I know, actually. Can you tell which ones are taken from the second show and from...
I think it usually ends up being mostly one show. So I think it's mostly the second show.
Yeah. But that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you happy with the answer?
Yeah, yeah,
are you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I would just, because, you know, in TV or movies or whatever you do, you get to take 50 takes. And there is so much pressure. The only way I can, it's like doing the high dive. Like, it's like being Tom Daly and doing the high dive. You only get really one shot to do it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. You don't really get to do anything else. So you don't want to hiccup, make a mistake, forget anything. Do it. So there's even more pressure. Because you can't really ad lib, I suppose.
You can, and you can. The thing you have to always remember is that you have power in the edit afterwards, and that's an easy thing to forget because it's such a live situation. But if you feel an ad lib, I feel like you should do it. I think that's kind of why people do two records. Is one is like the vanilla cut, and it's like whatever happens, we have the solid version of the show, which is like the vanilla version. This is how it's meant to be. This is the scripted bit, blah, blah. And then once you have that in the bank, then the second show, you can be a bit more loose and throw stuff out.
Have a pizza and let go.
But have you seen Adam Sandler's Netflix special?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's amazing. It's so good. It's one of the best specials on there, I think. Yeah. It's so, so good.
And is he funny? Adam Sandler's very funny?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why.
That's the second thing that's going to get you cancelled.
Is Dave Chappelle funny?
Well, the thing is, his movies are so often so fucking stupid.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And not great. But he's obviously a funny guy, because this stand-up is, he's just written a bunch of songs and the jokes are so silly and so funny. But the way he's done it is it's filmed across like a whole tour, maybe. And so it just cuts from venue to venue to venue, but still somehow seamless.
That's quite clever.
So there's no pretense at all that it's all one show. It's just... Sure.
That's
sure.
interesting.
Yeah.
There's also a great special by Maria Bamford also on Netflix called The Special, 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 Special. And she starts talking to herself in the mirror and then talking to two people, her parents on the couch, and then five friends. And then eventually by the end of the special, she's in a theater talking to a full theater of people.
Shit, Phil, you should have really upped really your good. Game. Yours is shit now.
Yeah, mine is.
Yours is terrible. Why? You just walk on stage.
Very
you
know, standard audience.
Yeah. Mine audience is and boring. Comedian. Boring. Apparently, do watch it. It's really funny, like Jamie says.
Yeah. I think Adam Sandler apparently has to, every time he lands, he has to go and play a basketball game. You know this? Uh-huh. Yeah, he has to go and do like a little routine. So he has to get off the flight to get over his jet lag. He goes and plays basketball.
What?
He plays basketball with like a random group of people that he just finds.
Oh, like he just goes down.
He just goes down to the court and then plays. And Adam Sandler turns up and he plays basketball with you, and then he goes and does a set. Phil, you probably have something like that, right? What is your routine that you do?
Apparently you're meant to like take your shoes off and stand on like earth with a bare feet. Like ground yourself. Apparently that really helps.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't do that.
People will look at you funny on the Heathrow tarmac though if you start doing that.
Yeah. Like,
and you start getting singling in the plane. Well, I think as comedians, right, this is what I, you know, I have a sweet business, right?
Like a really nice one?
Yeah, like a really nice sweet business. I have a sweet business. But what I find with the business, right, when you first start it, it's really fun and exciting. And you say to your business partner, whoever, you say to someone, oh my God, why don't we just create a suite that is like Eat and Mess? And they go, yeah, great, let's do it. And then so it's really fun and amazing, and naivety like plays into it massively. Mm. And then as the business sort of gets older, or you become more experienced in things, you become less free, less kind of liberal, almost less kind of adventurous. Does that happen in comedy as well?
I think it's the case with starting anything new, because in a way, to start something new, you need to be naive. You need to be naive about the likelihood that it's going to fail. Mm. You know, starting your own company, becoming a comedian, odds are it's not going to work out. If you look at the base rate of success to failure, you're probably not going to make it. So you need to be naive about that probability to do it in the first place. So it's a strength. And then I think naivety becomes a bit of a weakness. And so you learn how your industry works. You gain experience. And I think you do get better at it. It might feel like you're getting worse at it or like less adventurous, but it's only because you understand your business better, right?
Do you have this thing where, because I've certainly found, because you've obviously been doing it longer than me, but the longer...
Nah, it might be one year.
I also like that. You've obviously... by the looks of you, you've obviously been doing it longer than me.
But I definitely feel like the longer I've been doing stand-up, the more you realise how...
The
worse I've got.
I've really noticed with you, the more you do it, the less good it is.
I definitely feel like you realise how difficult it is the more you do it. Do you know what I mean?
This is hard.
No, you know what I found is that I go, it's like a waves. And it never ends. It never stops. I go, oh, stand-up's really easy, actually.
Yeah.
And then something will happen and I go, fuck, stand-up's really hard. And then you go, oh, stand-up is easy.
Yeah,
and, oh, Jesus, stand-up is, oh, how can they do it? Yeah. And I go up and down. Yeah. I think you go in, it's like you have seasons with it, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels really hard. Sometimes it just really, it flows. But I don't think that ever ends.
But also with comedy, I would say it's the most kind of like volatile industry you can be in, because it is literally like this all the time. Because sometimes, as you said, you're on really funny form and it goes great. Other nights don't. Sometimes the material works. Sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're getting all the gigs. Sometimes you're not getting the gigs. And there's not really another industry. And you've got all the competition coming up with new material.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an entertainment business industry thing. I think actors have it worse. I think
actors do not have it worse.
Yeah, because they have far less control over their work. They have to, you know, basically wait till someone gives them a job, or you just write stuff and go on a stage, and you know, we have a lot more control.
But
are you nervous about the next sweet upstart?
I don't think so, because I saw this thing with Ethan Hawke. I thought,
oh my and Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke of all people.
I'm obsessed with Ethan Hawke.
It's rare that you see someone like Ethan Hawke appear on TikTok, and he did. Suddenly he was on TikTok and I was like, that's Ethan Hawke. And he was saying, he went, life is hard. And I was like, Ethan Hawke is saying life is hard. But he was like, life is hard. And when you're kids, you think life is going to be easy. And it's going to be this big like graph that just goes up like that. And suddenly you reach your pinnacle and your blueprint is what it is and all these different things. But life is actually really hard. I think,
and that's coming from Ethan Hawke. So that puts it into perspective.
But
so imagine you're Phil Wang. Life must be really hard. Who the fuck's Ethan Hawke?
That reference.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't think a lot of people know.
Is that Tony Hawk, the skateboarder?
Yes, it's his brother. It's his evil brother.
You keep talking about Ethan Hawke like we all...
Why the fuck did you tell me when I sat with you at breakfast and I went, Ethan Hawke, and you nodded and looked at me. And now you're telling me.
I didn't have the energy to argue, but
that
yeah.
That whole conversation I had, you didn't even know the protagonist of the whole story. Ethan Hawke, he's an actor. He's in Memento. Have you ever watched Memento?
Yeah, I just don't know if...
Ethan Hawke. Anyway, the point is...
The other question I wanted to ask is, how much did they pay you for the Netflix special? Was it a lot? Is it true? It's a lot, isn't it?
There are a lot of rumours flying around.
Yeah.
But with Ethan... Anyway, going back to Ethan Hawke, it is true, though, that as kids, we have the naivety, right? That we think life is going to be pretty easy. And actually, as we get a bit older and more experienced, we realise that life is pretty extremely hard. Don't know what I'm going for... I'm just trying to be a bit more philosophical on this, but I don't really... Do you know what I mean by that or no?
I think the difficulties change. I don't think it gets harder, but the difficulties just change and you end up... You take on more responsibility. But I found being a kid fucking hard. I hated being a child.
Why? Because you moved a lot, didn't you?
A little bit. I grew up in Malaysia, but I was there basically until 16. And then moved to the UK. While I was in Malaysia, I went to school in nearby Brunei for a bit. So I was away from my family for that. But it was fine. But just the fundamentals of being a child, I really hated. I really hated like not being taken seriously. This sounds psychopathic, but...
I know what you mean though, yeah.
Or having like no control or no money. You have no money.
What are you trying to buy?
You can't have money.
What are you trying to buy?
It's illegal for you to make money.
What are you trying to buy?
Batman stuff.
Guns. Just loads of guns.
Just some weaponry. Small little spears.
Weaponry.
little spears.
But you have so little control.
Is it true that you spent your Netflix money on lots of weapons?
Yeah.
I've heard that. A big tank.
Yeah, I'm actually going on Joe Rogan next week to talk about them. He's really excited.
Phil Wang, comedian arms dealer.
Phil Wang spends all of his Netflix money on a tank.
I don't know how much a tank would cost, but I imagine it's a lot.
Shitloads. It would cost a tank.
That depends which one. It might be a couple on Etsy. That's not too much.
You think you can buy a tank? I might Google this as quickly. How much do you think?
Put a tank into Gumtree.
I'm going to.
My dad used to drive tanks. We should ask him.
Okay,
really?
He was in the Royal Tank Regiment.
Buying
that sounds appropriate.
I'm buying a tank. Here we go. I'm going to buy a tank.
Because you can definitely hire them for like stag dudes and stuff, right?
You can't hire a tank.
Yes, you can. I swear you
can. No, you can't.
You absolutely can hire.
Okay, buy a real tank. What would you write? Buy a real tank?
No, they're not water.
Yeah, low mileage tank.
Buy a military tank. Can we go shopping?
UK registered.
Because you've got to get second hand. Like a tank loses half its value the second it's off the forecourt. So you've got to go. You got to go second hand.
What mileage should I be looking for?
I think anything sub 100k is a good tank mileage.
Like full Monty tank driving experience is 349 quid.
That's all right.
But how long? How long do you get the tank?
Do you want to know?
Any ammo? Is that extra?
You can fire some ammo. It doesn't say how long you get it, but there's loads of thumbs up. I don't know where can I buy? Can I buy a tank? It doesn't.
You're gonna get
can someone
on
try
list,
and Google
definitely.
It? Someone try and
we'll
Google
get
it.
Get someone to find out.
Yeah, someone try and Google it. We'll find out. But I think it would be pretty expensive to have a tank. But so as a kid, you were saying you found it pretty tricky. But then when you did, you find Cambridge tricky or no?
Yeah, really hard. My first term, I almost quit.
Really?
Yeah, I went in.
It's lonely, people say.
I think it can be lonely. I think the university experience can can be lonely no matter where you are, especially if you're a bit dorky, and a lot of Cambridge people are. And when you're in a new place, that's always hard. But I went into it too hard. I was like, I'm in Cambridge. I got to do all the Cambridge things. So I was like doing rowing. I was doing like college football. I can't play football. I was in the choir, like in college. And I was doing stand-up and comedy. I was trying to audition for plays.
Because you wanted to try and fit in.
Actually, there's all this opportunity here and I have to get it in. I went to a lecture for a course I wasn't even on. I was like, all this stuff is available. So I'm going to go and learn about the political history of Vietnam. At the end of my first term, I was just exhausted. I was going, I can't do this. I need to quit. My grades are not good. And I remember talking to another guy at my college who was doing engineering as well. And I was like, I just don't know how to do it. And he was like, well, quit. Like, no one is doing five things. And him telling me that I could quit something was just a revelation.
So you were in the Cambridge rowing team?
No, the college one.
You didn't do the Oxford Cambridge race.
Yeah, no, I was an Olympic level rower, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna focus on telling dick jokes.
But wait, is that parents' pressure perhaps to make you achieve?
No, you know what, my parents were always really, they didn't pressure me. They always said, as long as you're happy, that's the main thing. And maybe I reacted to that. I was like, well, I'll show you.
Yeah.
You want me to be happy, do you? watch this.
It's true. You do the total opposite. Yeah. Your parents, you say you can't have any like alcohol. You then go to university and you nail as much as you can.
Well, exactly,
your
parents
said you can be as happy as you want.
Yeah, so you started doing stand-up.
So you tried to make yourself as unhappy as you can.
There's a bit of that. But I think a lot of my pressure just came from myself and like,
really?
And not, I hate the idea of waste and I really hate the idea of wasting opportunity. So, you know, going to Cambridge University is such an incredible opportunity and privilege. And I was like, I cannot waste this. I have to do every single thing I possibly can.
Did you have a job in between comedy and university or did you go straight into comedy?
I was basically straight into comedy. I did a bit of tutoring. I tutored a bit of maths and physics.
Yeah.
Fun?
No. I got hit when I was a kid at school. I went to Chinese school in Malaysia.
Yeah.
I got hit a lot.
Really?
Yeah, you did.
I got caned. Yeah, you got caned.
Really?
What?
Yeah, you get caned.
On your hand?
Yeah, on your hand. Every teacher would come in.
For doing what?
Oh, anything. It's up to the teacher's whim, basically. Every teacher came into the class with a rattan cane.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had their own. They had their, there's like their own broomstick in Harry Potter or something. Every, a wand. Every teacher had their own cane.
So was it like an extendable one?
Yeah, the baton. One, the posh ones were able to just flick it.
They had a baton.
A police baton.
It literally looked like they just pulled it off a tree outside. But every teacher had their own and they walk around school with it and they walk into class and they'd have their cane with you. And I learned which teachers had the thickest canes and who had the strongest arms. And so I would do their homework first. So I remember my Mandarin teacher had a thick cane and a real tricep on her. So I would do her homework first. My Malay teacher had a thin piece of shit cane and wasn't really into it actually when she went at you. So I was like, sometimes I wouldn't do it and I'd just take a quick strike.
Well, did they hit the back of the hand?
Palm.
Yeah. Because it hurts more?
I don't know. I feel like
back would hurt more. Wouldn't it?
Back would hurt more.
Back would definitely hurt more. Yeah,
you should tell these teachers.
Maybe they're being nice. Maybe they're actually being kind the whole time.
You should have said to them, "It'll hurt more on the back."
hey, listen, Phil and Tom, we're gonna have to stop there for part one because we've run it. But what we want to do is we want to really entice people to come back for part two. So, got a little fact or something you can tell us that you can then tell us now, then we reveal in part two.
Oh,
yeah, give us something. Give us something interesting.
About anything.
About anything you want. We're going to entice people back to
you could
part
tell us
two.
Something about the history of Vietnam because you did a lecture in that.
Yeah.
Or
something about cuisine. Cuisine's always
well, bad. Vietnam, well.
Don't tell us the answer though.
Okay.
Just tell us the question.
I bet you don't know what language the word pho is from. The Vietnamese dish pho that everyone loves.
Pho.
Okay. As in P-H-O.
Mm.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we're going to find out in part two, aren't we?
Yes, you are.
I will see you in part two, everybody. Bye-bye.
Small details are big surfaces. tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.